With the burden of sin lifted, our hearts and minds are ready to hear and listen to the word of God. Let us pray now that God gives us ears to hear. Gracious God, come, our souls inspire and lighten our hearts with celestial fire. Come, holy and anointing spirit, and impart on us the blessing of your gracious gifts. Amen. Today's epistle reading is from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3 and 8 through 16. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, with Sarah's involvement, he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth, for people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return, but as it is, they desire a better homeland. That is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our gospel lesson this morning is from Luke chapter 12, verses 32 through 40. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out. An unfailing treasure is in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. This is the word of the Lord. Will you pray with me? Holy and loving God, I pray that you speak through me, and when and where necessary, in spite of me. And Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you, O Lord, are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Do not be afraid, little flock. Today's text opens with that one-liner that we so long to hear when things get tough. Do not be afraid. It is a phrase that's woven throughout the Bible and often pairs with a message of peace and comfort. It's one the disciples needed to hear then, and it's one the church needs to hear now. There is plenty in this world to incite fear. It shows up in our minds when we're trying to sleep, our hearts, on the roads, on our screens, and for many of us in our own backyards. Fear is everywhere, and we seem to have no real escape from it. And how often does that fear drive our actions instead of assuredness? How often does that fear distract us from our calling and our vocation? Fear need not have control in our lives. It is exactly in those fears, the cover of night, the panic we feel when we have lost something, and I do that often, the unknown noise outside our door, the well-known voice inside our heads. It is there that God meets us. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I will leave you an advocate. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Those uncertain moments of fear are not the time for us to throw up our hands and give up, or act in ways that are not our own. Those moments are where God meets us and walks with us. Jesus calling the disciples little flock is an important reminder for us that we are not in this alone. Our fears may make us feel that way, impeding our view of God's work in our lives and in the world, leading us to forget that God provides. But we are indeed God's little flock. Like shepherds tend to and care for their sheep, so God tends for and cares for us. God is intimately involved, intimately concerned with our lives, knowing the number of grass blades in the fields, the number of stars in the sky, and the number of hairs on our heads. So, cling not to the fears that lead to worry and anxiety. Instead, cling to God's loving presence. Cling to God because now is the time. Now is the time to be dressed and ready for service. God is assuring us to not be afraid because God is calling us to work, to be prepared to participate in the building of the kingdom of God, the kingdom that is both already here and the kingdom that awaits. Often when I think of being prepared, other than the Lion King song, Be Prepared, I think of the overwhelming list of all the little things one must do. If it's a test, drill, study, flashcards ad nauseum, take practice tests. If it's a concert, practice scales, practice the pieces, practice both with sheet music and by memory. Stretch so your body doesn't get stuck. If it's a storm, check the weather. Make sure you have a radio. Make sure you know the emergency exits. Make sure you get to the store before the essentials disappear from the shelves. Make sure you have barricades ready. And if it's a trip, make sure you're packed. Check your travel plans and flight info if you're flying. If you're driving, check your tires, check your oil, make sure your maintenance is all up to date. All of these things pile up and often even feel tedious. But without this preparation, without the anticipation of what is to come, we can get caught unaware. Perhaps this is minor, but one example, recent example from my own experience is being caught unprepared by the spotted lanternfly invasion. They are not new to the area, but I had not knowingly seen one until this year. And before I knew it, they were everywhere, not just in our backyard, but the neighborhood, the city sidewalks, everywhere. And I didn't take action early on because I thought, oh, cool, what a neat looking insect. I've never seen that before. And now they have taken over our yard and are killing our baby trees. Impossible to get under control. Of course, there are measures to take, but the timing of those measures are crucial. And this year, we missed our window. And we also can't do it alone. When I began writing the sermon, I was convinced the whole thing would tie into lantern flies. But it took a slightly different turn, and I still wanted to mention them, so there we go. So back to being prepared. A lot of the preparations I have mentioned are how we get ready for earthly things. But how do we prepare for the kingdom? How do we prepare for the kingdom? We don't live in wait. We live as though the kingdom of God is here with the hope of the return of the living Christ and the gifts of the Holy Spirit acting as our lamps shining in the world. We anticipate the coming of our risen Lord by loving our neighbor, seeking justice, showing mercy, and accepting grace. We turn our vision outwards, preparing with our communities, not just for ourselves. We give of ourselves and our gifts rather than taking and stockpiling up. We prepare by making sure everyone knows that all are welcome at the table in the kingdom. And we make room at that table here and now. We keep our lamps lit so that the light illuminating from them is a sign of hospitality to all peoples. We open our hands and invite others to do the same, to receive God's love. And as we do this, we make sure to be ready for the magnificent and the unexpected. That's not easy to do. Being prepared is hard and busy work. It is near impossible to be prepared for every potential outcome as much as we may try. And trying feeds into that false narrative that we are in control. Intense preparation does not naturally make room for the unexpected, so it is our job to do that, to step back, to downshift, and yes, to rest. Rest. A pertinent reminder for all the doers in this wonderful community who pour their very being into doing things to help others. Rest. The first word in the acronym, RICE. Rest, ice, compression, elevation for healing an injury. Rest. The thing leading doctors to recommend 9 hours of sleep per night. I certainly don't get it. Rest. The thing I left out of all the preparation lists I mentioned earlier. How many of you have stayed up later or pushed yourself longer in a day just to get something done or feel more prepared? We forego rest to meet our tasks, to meet our deadlines. But rest is a gift given to us, and it is crucial to preparation. If it's a test, drill, study, flashcards, practice tests, rest. If it's a concert, practice scales, practice pieces, practice by memory and with music, stretch and rest. If it's a trip, make sure you're packed, check your tires, check your oil, check your engine, and rest. Rest is the thing that allows us to be the most prepared. After and amidst doing the hard work. And it is the thing that allows space for us to see the unexpected and to see the work of the Holy Spirit. Why do we rest? Because it is impossible to always stay on alert. It is exhausting to the point of leading us to be even ill-prepared if we are on 24/7. Our world is filled with constant breaking news banners, wake-up alarms, caution signs that keep our concentration held so tightly for so long that eventually we get burned out. We get tired and we break focus. But we don't have to tackle it alone. We are accompanied by God and by one another. So take shifts, just as you would in a job. Let go of some things that are still unfinished and rest. And when we rest, we can allow ourselves to be surprised and moved in ways we never thought possible. I can only speak from experience, but as my husband has reminded me time and time again, I have found that some of my most amazing breakthroughs, whether it be in sermon writing, music making, decisions and planning, or community engagement, have come at rest. The rest is an invitation to trust that God is present and following through on God's promises. Rest allows for the margin to change course, to host a last-minute dinner for a family who has lost power, to run errands for a friend who has just become immobile, to step into a performance or a job when a colleague gets sick. Resting allows us to look around and see where God is at work. It allows us to be amazed and surprised at all the ways, large and small. Rest allows us to offer ourselves to God without imposing our own plans and will. Now I realize that I am telling us all to rest, just as the new program year, the new school year, kicks off and vacation season winds down. And you might be wondering, well, why are you talking about rest now? Because rest is not the end game. It is not the thing to strive for at the finish line, but rather it is something we build into the structure of our lives. Moments of pause, moments of rejuvenation that allow us to continue listening to God and participating in God's good work. So it is important to think about where you find your rest so that you can nestle in God's presence in those moments. Is it sleeping in a hammock? Is it time with loved ones? Is it prayer and meditation? Is it a good sports game? Is it reading a good book with a cup of tea by the window? Is it spending time away, secluded in a cabin? For me, rest for body, mind, and spirit often comes through music with friends and family. Now, not the performing kind of music. I'm talking about jamming on the porch with the breeze and the sound of birds contributing to the symphony of sound, and the butterflies floating to the rhythm of the tunes, laughter interspersed with the notes. It's here for me where time flits away with my fears and anxieties, and I feel a renewed sense of peace and energy and readiness and openness to where God is calling. Rest does not look the same for everyone. But wherever you find it, take it every so often so that we can keep our lamps trimmed, lit, bright, and burning. We live in a world where fear runs rampant, as does our desire to prepare for everything and prepare for the worst. Set up shop and barricade, plan to a point of overfunctioning. But instead of barricading, let us open the door and welcome the stranger to rest. Instead of hoarding supplies, let us share them with our neighbors. Instead of shutting our eyes and ears, trying to sleep, let us really listen and respond to the needs of those who are hurting and rest with them. Instead of trying to stay alert on our own, ask for help and invite someone to share your load. Instead of pushing through out of fear of the next, rest. Rest in the unexpected. Rest in the presence of the Holy Spirit. For it is there that we have the strength to be courageous, and it is there where we are ready. Amen.